morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. Together on this wonderful Wednesday. So glad to have you along. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. Here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with that news that you can use. And as we got up and got going this morning, ooh, it's a little chilly still this morning, but not as cold as the last few days. 36 degrees currently here at the KSLM studio. And as we go throughout our day, about 4 or 5 o'clock this afternoon, we may hit up to 65 degrees. So that perfect afternoon walk, you know, when you get home from work, if you have a dog or you want to see your neighbors from a distance, of course, around the block, you know, I encourage you to get out and enjoy this wonderful fall weather. And it looks like it's going to stay with us in the 60s throughout the week, which is nice. Maybe a little rain showers on Friday. And then as we get into next week, some rain expected for most of the screen here showing sun. And that makes me very, very happy. How are you doing today? It's 7:07 in the morning. And I want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland. He is a morning show sponsor, and I thank you so much, Bill. Country Financial Sunderland Agency. He's there to help you with any of your insurance needs, financial planning needs. Give him a call, 503-885-0789, sunderlandagency.com. And boy, there's a lot of news in the headlines overnight, and of course, the big one. Did you get a chance to go watch that Tucker Carlson interview? It was an interesting interview last night, and I don't have cable. I get my news usually through the internet and go to my sources and I get it in my email. And certainly here at the station, we're inundated with all kinds of news. But I had several people alert me to it and say, hey, did you get a chance to watch this? And it was interesting to watch that interview last night with Tucker Carlson. And I put a link on our Facebook page so you can go there and watch it for yourself. And there's a lot going on. And I guess my response has been, boy, that's really damaging information. And it's so authentic on the whole Hunter Biden connection with China and all of this stuff that it seems like Vice President Biden is denying and saying it didn't happen. And yet here we have a person who has high security clearance and has served in the United States giving testimony and showing proof. And it's just weird to me that none of the mainstream media is even picking it up. They're trying to say it's disinformation. Weird. It's a hoax, all of that stuff. In the studio with me this morning is Jeff Heinen.
Heinen.
We'll get it one of these days.
No,
and he is the Marion County chairman of the Republican Party. Is
that
correct? And he was so good to say, yes, I'll come in the studio with you and hang out this morning in the 7 o'clock hour. Thank you for being my co-host today.
Absolutely.
You graduated to a co-host status.
I did.
Yeah, here you are.
Oh, boy.
All right. So we're going to talk some fun things this morning. And even this, just talking about Tucker Carlson. Now, out of all of the people right now, currently, that are interviewing and moderating and digging for truth, in my mind and perspective, he is right there on the edge. He's like poking, constantly poking,
you know,
and digging and almost kind of a little bit agitating to people, right? In a good way, because he's not afraid to go where no one else will go and get those interviews. And to me, I have a lot of respect for that.
Need more of that.
We need more of that. And I think our journalism, the whole idea of being a journalist and digging down for the truth and all of that, we've lost that art in the last 25 years.
It's no surprise the mainstream media is burying anything they can. Just let me know whose pocket they're in.
Well, and that's exactly right. And it would be nice to reveal and have that, you know, revealed somehow to the general public of how they're being influenced. But I've ran these on my Facebook before. I don't know if you saw like the videos from YouTube where it shows the morning news across America and they're all having the same talking points. And yet they try to make you think they're like from your hometown, right? That this is what's going on.
And try to put something conservative out there, though, you might be censored.
Maybe. So in this last week, when you talk about that, I don't know, you, Jeff, with your hands working with the Republican Party throughout not only Marion County, but the state and being connected with candidates and stuff with a conservative message, I don't know. I know about four or five people that have had their Facebook, their personal pages, whether it be, you know, as an individual or as a community group or a political type group, shut down by Facebook. Yeah. Have you heard that?
Oh, I have. And even outside of the general politics, there's a group called Oregon Prepping that they had their whole thing just shut down. Gone.
All of a sudden.
Yeah, it's like, what did they do?
Right.
You know, other than telling people to be prepared and, you know, the message that, you know, prepping community does, why would they shut that down?
No explanation, like you've gone against community standards or anything. They just shut her down. Yes. Yeah. And so a lot of people, there's been this mass movement now to go to other platforms because it's such a
good... Parler's growing like crazy.
Parler is growing. Do you have a Parler?
I'm one of those holdouts. I've got one and I don't know how to use it.
I know. And that's the trouble is we've gotten familiar with using Facebook or YouTube. I'm not so much. I have a little bit of Twitter, a little bit of Instagram, but I just don't...
I can't drink out of a hose very well. It's just
know.
Hard.
It's consuming. You've got other things to get done in the day, right?
Plenty.
So your work with the Marion County Republican Party, you know, and your leadership there also is a lot of is real busy right now. Talk to us a little bit of what's been going on at the office.
Well, I mean, the office has been exploding. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're getting visitors, you know, the Trump gear is obviously flying off the shelf.
Right.
And we've been doing awesome there. But we've been more engaged in local campaigns this year than we ever have been.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing group of volunteers that have stepped up to write letters, to create, well, you know, packets to be dropped off, to just do everything. And it's been phenomenal.
The momentum is growing, isn't it?
Oh, totally.
That was my word yesterday, momentum. The last couple of days, I just can't shake it. I'm not sure what's going to happen Tuesday. I have this gut feeling that it's going to be very interesting.
That's a good word.
We talked about a little bit before we got on the air that we may be surprised.
That's where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I had an interview with a local reporter guy who's, you know, they're trying to pry, what do you think's going to happen out of you? And my answer to him was, you know, you might just be surprised.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, the political pundits and watching and listening to all of them, they're just so shocked at these polls that are saying that Biden's ahead by 7% or 12% and all of that. And then you look at the rallies and people can't even get into the Trump rallies. And he's holding 3 to 5 a day leading up to the election. And Biden can't hardly get a parking lot full of people.
Yeah, where do those polls come from?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question.
Again.
Because I've seen other polls
mm-hmm.
and they have a different story.
They are telling a different story. And it's interesting. I've been saying for about 3 months, even before this last surge and the momentum growing, I've been saying, which is very Pollyanna optimistic, but I've been saying Trump by 80%.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. But you were an optimist even in high school.
Yeah. Even in this is a little information. We were in high school together, Jeff and I. We're Olympians.
Years ago. Yay, go Sprague.
Go Sprague.
Right.
And so, yes, it is something incredible that maybe not here in Oregon, although I think Trump may take Oregon, not by 80%, but, you know, he could hit it by 53 or 55.
I think it will be a nail biter, much to the dismay
closer.
Of people. You know, there's people north of us up in that town I don't necessarily
claim. Yeah, it's
claim
almost
all the
like
time.
Another state up there, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yes. Well, here's the thing that I think is interesting, Jeff. Because of all of the events that have happened this year, we have, you know, and I joke, I say it all happened because we got the extra day this year, leap year. It threw us all off, you know. But really, after February 29th, everything just went kind of south, right?
Oh, boy.
Crazy, the mandates, the close downs in March, you know, it just started going on and on. Here's something that I think, and maybe it's my sociology background, maybe it's my watching people's behavior and listening online to both sides of the aisle in a sense. People are disrupted and their carts are turned over. It doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican or non-affiliated. Everybody,
so
it's affecting everybody, infecting everybody equally.
Yeah.
This pandemic and the response. And there's no way this governor can separate in a sense. She can, in some ways, like have her pet unions and, you know, groups and state workers and things. But for the most part, it's a, it's all over equally upending everybody.
Well, just look at the recall stuff that happened, right? I mean, the first recall had some very solid numbers and whatever and had a really good, you know, indicator. The second recall, okay, we couldn't even go to state fairs, county fairs, and we came within 3,000 signatures.
Yes.
And if you look at this, the data from the former one and you apply it to what's likely on the secondary one, over 30% of people that signed the original first petition were not Republicans.
Wow.
And of those, over half were Democrats. Wow. And I can only imagine those numbers have increased.
Yes.
Because I know so many people you hear, you know, talk to folks that work in the public sector or whatever, somewhere where it is not, quote, safe to be conservative.
Right.
And their voice, they're afraid to say anything for fear of losing their job or being, you know, blackballed or whatever it is. And so my question is, how many of these people who are who've been disenfranchised by this governor and this government are going to maybe check some different boxes come November and drop that thing in the ballot box, and you're going to see some interesting results.
I believe so. I think we will be surprised and maybe encouraged somewhat here in Oregon, because what I've heard coming back, being gone for all these years and coming back, I've heard people say, you know, I just haven't been involved because what does my vote count? Really? You know,
That's changing.
I'm Republican, I'm Christian, but you know, we live in a blue state and I've just settled on that. But people are really getting involved, getting engaged, and realizing, no, their effort joined with someone else's effort, with someone else's, and that momentum continues to move forward. We are seeing change. Now, my question to you, and I think something I'd like us to dig into a little bit as we get through this next break, and you can be thinking about this, Jeff, is where do we go from here, regardless of what happens on Tuesday? You know, kind of, I want us to dig into and speculate maybe a little bit, or maybe envision, where do we go as a Marion County party, as a community, as a state? Where do we go from here, irregardless whether we do really well or don't do so well? How do we keep going? How do we capitalize on that momentum? And then the other thing I want to get into, I think we might have some listeners, some new listeners who are, you know, very new to the political process. I've had people say, you know, I like tuning into your show because there's information. I'm learning a little bit about how this works. You're kind of teaching me along the way. I think there's some new listeners who've never even been associated with a party, but they're interested in learning a little bit more why the Republican Party. So I want us to talk a little bit about that and give us our sell pitch, you know, about why not just be an unaffiliated or independent voter? Why not go with a party, and what's the advantages of that? So as we continue the conversation this morning, we've got some things to cover. Thank you for listening this morning. So glad to have you tune in. It's 7:19. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. Want to remind you, if you have an event coming up that you'd like me to talk about, send me an email, stacy@kslm.news. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hi, I'm Stacy Ann. Glad to be along with you, hanging out today with Jeff. He is the Marion County Chairman of the Republican Party, and he is my co-host this morning. And we're having a great discussion and enjoying our time with you. Thank you for tuning in. Jeff, I don't know if you saw this or not, and it's an interesting article about the Enchanted Forest, and that family has been here. They're going to celebrate
longer
next year. Almost, 50 years plus, and they have had such a year. You know, they're an outdoor primarily an outdoor facility. And so they petitioned and petitioned, can we open? Can we have a plan,
right.
You know, a comprehensive plan? And it took wonderful help from, I know, like Danielle Bethel and others really kind of came around him and said, like, this is how, let's put a plan together and really, really advocated for this family. Well, they had turnout. People turned out. They had full reservations, but the economic impact isn't enough to sustain them. And now they're closed for the season, you know, until next year.
Like
a lot of businesses. And this just highlights the pain and the agony that's going on. And I'm reading this. They've started a GoFundMe account, and they're doing like some fundraising things online. And so I encourage you, we're going to put a link up on our Facebook page. I encourage you, friends, to do what you can to help Enchanted Forest. This is what we do as a community. We come alongside those that are struggling
so
and suffering.
So much of that has been going on.
And it's been beautiful with the wildfires and
the churches. And people just helping everywhere, right and left.
And if there's a silver lining in the pandemic, it is a reinforcement that we need one another.
It's just like 9/11.
It really is.
It's brought everybody back together to say we need to help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat, Republican, or whatever.
Right.
I mean, the community has really stepped up. And so hats off to everybody.
Well, and I absolutely, of course, being from here and not having lived here for so many years, I feel like I'm home in a sense that to see all the outreach and the continued effort to help one another and the reinforcement and the encouragement, it's incredible. And so we have this election, and I know a lot of anxiety. There's just been a lot of stirring people. Everything's like, well, and here in our state, we were like, okay, November 3rd, this election infection will be over and we will be mask-free. And then yesterday we found out 60 more days of the lockdown, in a sense.
I don't want to put a little water on your parade here, but, you know, regardless of how our election turns out, and I do see some great things coming.
Yes.
We still live in a state ruled by a tyrant.
Yes.
And
that is our reality. And again, as we said in the last segment, I think this is the reality that people are, no matter where they land politically, what are we going to do about Governor Brown and her orders? And now she's lined herself up with the other states. You know, you saw they're putting together this commission
on the
vaccine.
The third state now to put that stuff into OSHA and all these other state bodies.
There's some reinforcement. And here's the difficulty. She has left us out of the picture. In this OSHA, Oregon Health Authority, Oregon Health Authority, they have so much power and oversight, and they're all appointed by her. None of them are elected.
Exactly.
And so you have this whole executive branch tyranny going on, right?
A tyrant.
And the executive branch is one of three branches in our state.
That's right.
Right? We have the legislative, and then we also have the judicial.
Yep.
And we also know that many of the judicial folks have been appointed and have probably some sort of alliance and allegiance, as we've seen with some of the lawsuits, right?
Yeah, imagine that.
So then we look at, now we are sitting at the legislative branch, okay?
Right.
So we have this election on Tuesday.
Yeah, the best outcomes, I think, we're going to take some seats back in the House and in the Senate. I believe that. There's lots of things on track to make that happen. And we can restore some balance.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, what that means is that the legislative branch can defund some of the tyranny, right? You can make all the laws you want or all the dictates you want. Actually, they're not supposed to make laws. They think they can, but so you can do all your tyrannical dictates that you want, but we just won't fund them.
Right.
And so that is back to my analogy of a three-legged stool, right? You got legislative, judicial, and executive.
Right.
Well, we tried to knock the executive leg out from underneath the stool. We came so close.
Really close.
And now the next step is to go after the legislative. And so we're after House. There are so many great candidates that we have out there on the ballot. You know, can you imagine the amount of money that the Democrats are spending against this? It is unbelievable.
Unbelievable, yes.
And then even on a national level, right? We're talking about this liberty, whatever.
Right.
We could talk. That's a whole different segment.
That's a whole nother.
But locally,
yes,
that's what we have to do. Focus on getting that vote out. If you haven't voted yet, vote. Please.
Yes.
Do what needs to be done.
In fact, if you have not voted yet,
don't put it in the mail.
It won't get there in time.
That's right.
I guarantee you it won't be there in time. And so I encourage you, friends, to fill it out today. Take it down today. In fact, it's kind of cool. I just did this, Jeff, yesterday. We 2 days ago, we put our ballot in, took pictures, documented it, right?
Yep.
And then I've been watching on the Marion County site.
Track
you can
your
do
vote.
Your track. Mm-hmm. You can look at it on the Secretary of State, but this is, you can, they'll text you.
Yes.
And they'll tell you, okay, we've received it. It's been accepted. Yada,
right.
yada. And I encourage everybody to go that next step and track your vote that way. And so that you know that it's in the hopper, as I like to say. So,
and look on our social media, too, because if you've been affected by the fires, there are some different places where you can go cast your ballot. If you didn't get one because you're dislocated or whatever,
right.
you can go to the county clerk's office, right? Go down there and they will help you out.
Right.
You know, and get you the ballot that you need. So be sure you vote.
Yes, and so go take care of it today, get it in. And the other thing that I think is valid too is when you're in and you're marked in, then the efforts to get out the vote for you could go to someone else, maybe some of the non-affiliated and some
of
the others.
One of our representatives, Reschke, I think it was, did a really good article out there. You know, there's the old adage of Republicans, like, we hang on to our vote because we don't trust the system, or we drop it off at the absolute last second. And this was a new kind of a new angle on this. It's like, okay, what we do is we chase votes. So when we see you haven't voted, we're coming after you and we're spending money.
Yes.
Help us not to do that by getting your
save
stuff turned in.
Money and by not mailing it, which you shouldn't do anyway now. You're
too
also saving
that.
The government money by that posted. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're continuing the conversation after this. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back. Good morning. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, and it's currently 35 degrees here at the KSLM studio, 7:35 in the morning, and it is a good day indeed. And I got to thinking about this. I've got Jeff in the studio with me, and we are talking about everything election and kind of speculating about what's going to happen next week. And you know, we've got a time change coming up, I believe. Isn't it this coming weekend?
Next weekend.
Around the first, maybe?
I never remember when that is.
I know. That's when you spring forward and fall back. So we're falling back an hour, right, coming up. And so we'll have to look that up,
that means
too.
You lose an hour of sleep.
That's exactly right. And it's interesting here on the coast. You know, I know Salem's not, technically the coast. You know, Lincoln City is, but in my friends' minds, in South Dakota, in Arkansas, Oregon's the coast, right? And the left coast, Pacific time, we're 2 hours behind Arkansas. So we get those phone calls, you know, it's like, or we try to call back home and it throws us off a little bit, but that time change is always kind of an adjustment. And then we have the election coming up right around the corner. And here's something, Jeff, I don't know if you knew about this or heard about this, but since the second and final presidential debate, Google searches for "Can I change my vote?" and similar inquiries have spiked.
Amazing.
According to Google Trends, a rather significant trend, since more than 62 million votes have already been cast in the election via early poll voting, absentee ballots, and mail-in ballots. And we're still 7 days out from the election. So I'm curious, did we find anything on what you can do in Oregon? I know the state of Washington, it says that you can resubmit. You can go in and cancel and resubmit. And so we'll have to do some search. I'm not sure. And that is something that people are like, you know, I want to wait a little bit to see if the other shoe drops right before the election before I vote. I don't think between now and Tuesday anything else is going to drop. I think it's all out
there.
You
never know.
Well, it could, but so many people are voting by mail or absentee, you know, and getting it done because they don't want to risk, bad weather. And that was always the thing in South Dakota. with the weather. Now there's a storm surge going down in Louisiana with another hurricane. You know, it is important that we get our votes in. And so
indeed.
You were talking a little bit before the break. Go on. Talk a little bit more about this. This gentleman was sharing how important it is.
Well, Rep, I think it was Werner Reschke. Mm-hmm. I've been like so many Republicans, don't trust the system. Wait till the last minute. Give it, you know, I'm going to drop it off at 7:59, you know, whatever, at the box, at the courthouse, right? But when you're talking about political strategy and where they spend money, your candidates and the caucus and whatnot, they're trying to get everybody's vote. So they're chasing ballots. So that we get reports. We have people out there every day that are making phone calls or maybe, you know, dropping by neighbors or whatever. And they're looking at who's voted and who has not voted. That gets updated frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a candidate and you're spending money and you're trying to get the votes in, if you have this big list of people who haven't turned in their ballots yet, you have to split that money up. Even though some of these folks are guaranteed in the bag, no problem, they're going to be on our side, we don't know yet because they haven't voted. Now, so that forces them to spend maybe more money or not target it where it could best be used to really go after that swing voter.
Right.
So that is, there's that mindset of it that's kind of, I should have thought about that. So I turned my ballot in early.
Good.
And I encourage people to get that turned in. I understand the mindset of not trusting the system. Definitely take it to either the courthouse or one of those places, one of those steel ballot boxes, right? Do it. If you want it the most safe, you go downtown Salem to, you know, the bus barn there, second floor elections office, and you hand it to the clerk. So here, Bill, here's my ballot.
I didn't realize that's where they're at.
Yep.
We went to the main courthouse, and right as you walk in the door, they have, before you go through the security, they have the box right there, and we dropped it because I was assuming it's in that big building. It's
Elections is across the street to the north, second floor, and if you wanted to ask them questions about, hey, can I change my ballot now, or if you didn't get a ballot, if you have not got this ballot, go down there. You need you need to get one.
Yeah, because you should have it by now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, you should have it, and you can again go on Marion County or your county if you're not in Marion County, or if you're in another state and you're listening this morning, and you're not sure where you're, because some folks, they have a little card that they've lost, you know, when they register to vote, and they're not, okay, where do I vote today? Call your county clerk and they'll be able to give you instruction on where to go, certainly. And I do think this is interesting. I do think that there are some things that happened at this last presidential debate, and certainly this revelation with what's been going on with Hunter Biden. It's huge things on the top level. But we're here today. We're talking about right here in our own local community, in our own backyard, and how important it is to get behind our local candidates, because elections have consequences. And friends, I'll remind you, Governor Brown got in the very first time she was elected by 7 votes.
Revenge is a dish served best cold. How did she put that?
Yeah, oh, is that what she said?
And we're seeing the fruits of that prophecy.
Well, and the issue that I think, and this is the question I throw out for all of us to think about, regardless of what happens on Tuesday, okay, regardless of who's elected, and my hope and my prayer is that everything will turn majorly red, that we'll redeem some seats, we'll keep seats, we'll redeem new seats, and that the power of this this tyrant at the head of our state right now will be subdued, and that she will be, the legislative branch will rise up in strength, and there'll be actually work done and progress done. Yeah, yes,
there's one other thing. There's two key races here.
Yes.
Secretary of State and treasurer. There's 3 people that sit on the land use board for the state. Secretary, treasurer, and the governor. They have the ultimate influence over all of these state lands decisions. So all of the mismanagement of forests and all these things that have been going on for so many years, they have the power to change that. If we get 2 of those seats back, we basically overrule the governor's direction in that area.
Oh, I love that.
We can influence hugely what happens in our state lands. And that has been such a detriment to see how our state has just burned up, right? All because of mismanagement. Now, granted, there's fires, but they would have been so much less impact had we managed our forests correctly. You talk to Timber Unity folks and all these guys, they're out in the forest every day. They know how to do this.
Right. Okay. This is their livelihood. This is their practice.
Not the, you know, mm-hmm. the commissars up in the Capitol that, you know. Mm-hmm. So that right there is huge, huge, amazing difference that can happen from winning that Secretary of State's office and the Treasurer's office.
Okay.
And not only that, Secretary of State has a huge influence in the redistricting process. If
right.
if Shemaiah Fagan gets, oh my, that will be horrible. She will mix up the map and redistrict this state. You will never, not for a long time, she will tip the scales so hard left, it'll be so difficult to ever get good influence back there again.
Well, and this is something that we need to really look at this strategically, friends, from a helicopter view of the whole state, in that these key positions that affect our everyday life, we have no idea. And certainly we're learning this not only by the pandemic, but now by the wildfires.
Right.
So you're saying for the last several years, this is how it is in
40.
Oregon, 40 years, these three positions have made the decisions on the land use.
Yes.
And because of improper land use is why we had, and even her response, governor's response to the fires. The fire that came up the San Yam Canyon,
I
learned,
put it out.
Right,
it was
had been
for
burning
90 days.
For however many days prior to it getting to the canyon. So there is like these aha moments people are having again. It's the day-to-day folks that are being affected that maybe have never voted before.
Right.
If you're one of them or know somebody and they're displaced, they don't know how to vote, where to vote, all of that, again, I encourage you to get down and get to your county courthouse and get your vote in, because these elections have consequences and they
Very
affect
much.
Our day-to-day lives. And we have the power. The people have the power. They just forgot about it, I think.
Yeah, and so many local races, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes.
Last year in 2020, I think there were 70 plus races just in Marion County.
Mm-hmm.
So you have some races that are happening now, mostly a national stage and your local, you know, House district reps and senators and whatever. But in May coming up, four school board seats for the Salem-Keizer School Board.
Wow.
And not only that, you're going to have all kinds of mayors and city councils and parks boards and all of this kind of stuff.
And that's in the spring.
And
right?
that's in the May election coming up.
Okay.
So huge impact that people can have. And they're thankless positions. My wife serves on one of them. You know?
Yes.
It's no fun, but it is something that is the responsibility of the community. If you want to see things change locally, this is how you get involved.
Well, and interesting, I love to watch David Barton. He is like a Christian historian of our United States. And he does this thing about voting is not a right, it's a responsibility.
Absolutely.
And talks about we have a responsibility to vote. I believe we have a due diligence as well to represent, especially those of us now that are empty nesters and we've raised our kids. And you might say, well, I don't have kids in the school system. Well, you've raised kids. Now you're going to have grandkids in the future, potentially. We need to get engaged. It's our wisdom, our insight, what we've learned through the years that can help others in this process.
Good people to run for these things.
Good people to step
up. I just read a book recently. I'm going to plug it.
Talk
about
it.
It's by Matthew J. Trehala. It's called The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. And this goes back into the 1500s where Martin Luther and all things like that. Basically what it means is when a lower magistrate, i.e. a city council or a county commissioner, a group of county commissioners, gets a dictate from a higher power and says, no, that is unconstitutional, that is wrong, we're not going to do that, and they push back in a large scale. You can change the outcomes. That's what happened in England in those days.
I love it.
We need to do that here.
Gaining and realizing and waking people up to the power that we have and the momentum that we have, regardless of what happens Tuesday, we need to keep moving forward and look for ways that we can continue to gain ground back here in Oregon. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. Listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Having a great conversation this morning. With the election right around the corner, I've got Jeff here. He's the chairman of the Republican Party here in Marion County, and we're having a great discussion about kind of no matter what happens on Tuesday, you know, I think we're going to be surprised.
I do too.
Think we're going to see some things nationally, statewide, locally. We're going to see some things because I think people are so tired of this.
Silent majority will be silent no more.
Mm-hmm. And I'm encouraged by that. And it's always interesting. The human, you know, I my background in sociology and human behavior and some counseling, it is interesting to watch people. You know, when you win, it's easy to win and go, okay, we've done it and we got it. And then just kind of get complacent. And when we're close and we lose by a short amount of time, it also has the same effect as like, what good is it, you know, to even try? And years and years ago, back in South Dakota, I ran for a state Senate office, and I learned tons through that. Oh, yeah. I supported many candidates, but I ran against someone who'd been an incumbent for years. Great guy. He'd been the chief of police, and no one would ever run against him because he was the retired chief of police and had name recognition and everything. And I'm thinking, I think people need a choice,
absolutely,
you know, and I learned so much. I did not win. But I every door I knocked on and every person I shook their hand, I promise you, voted for me. I couldn't get there and around enough. But what I learned through that, because of a great contest he and I had his ear, one of the reasons why I ran is he wouldn't talk to people that were more conservative and had some of these issues. He wouldn't even acknowledge them. But after I ran and we had a great race, we became friends. And now people still had an advocate with an ear, and he would consider things differently. And I think
influence.
You can have influence.
Absolutely.
So even if you don't win, but you were faithful in going through, and for me, it was a personal faith. You know, I felt called to do it. So I did it irregardless of what the results were. Of course, you run to win, but there in life, there are winners and losers. We understand this. And so how you handle that and what you do with it. And so with that, I'm saying get involved now, friends. No matter what happens on Tuesday, keep the momentum going. Yeah. Get engaged
politics
in the process.
Politics is a long-term game.
That's right.
You can't just fix anything. I mean, it took us 40 years to get to where we're at here.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to change it overnight. I mean, we could have some substantial changes, yes.
Right.
But in the long, I've done a little thing on the long, playing the long game.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to start local and build, you know, up from there. I mean,
yes.
You can't just change it overnight.
Kind of like dieting.
Oh, yeah. That's a dirty
it doesn't.
Word.
I mean, you have to make some behavioral changes and start moving along. And then eventually you start seeing the results and then the momentum, right?
So many people, though, have been woke up this last year with all the things that have affected their lives, from COVID to the fires to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't teach civics in school like they used to. Regardless of where you stand politically. We've had this conversation before.
Yes, we have.
So many people think we live in a democracy, and we don't.
No, we don't.
So education is where it starts. So, you know, where do we go after this election? We keep doing what we're doing because Marion County Republicans, our goal, we're here to elect Republicans. And that includes everyone from the dog catcher on up to the president. We're not focused only on the president. We're not focused only on House districts. We're focused on all of it, but probably more local than other. And so there's so much things that can change. Our city council needs help here.
Yes.
They need your prayers. We need huge change in our Salem City Council. We're not going the direction we need to go. We have some opportunities to solidify even better our school board coming up here. There's a lot of potential.
And generally, the school board and the city council, what they call nonpartisan position, but they are very partisan.
Absolutely.
I am telling you that they are training ground for the Democrat Party that I've seen different states for higher up, moving up the ladder and name recognition and all of that.
For all
parties.
It doesn't always work that way, but it's a great place if you, I mean, it's a policy board.
You learn
experience.
How, if you've never been on a board of directors, a church board or a nonprofit board, getting on in one of those boards is very important.
Your state legislature. legislature is the ultimate, well, actually National Congress is, is the ultimate policy board, right? And where do you learn how to be on a policy board? At your local school board, your water board, your fire board, city council, et cetera,
which reminds me, when we were filling out the ballot, I was shocked that some of these positions, like for soil,
nobody on the ballot.
Right. You know, how do you even find out or inquire, and what do they even do? You know, things like that. How sad. There's positions that no one even ran for.
The problem with these things is that, yes, nobody knows about what they do. They actually have some very large influence in money that is spent on land conservation and other things, and water districts and so on. Some of them have very large budgets.
Wow.
But yet people don't engage. It's not a paid position. It takes time away from your life. But you're supporting your community also includes running it.
Yes. Yes.
It's great to be on a nonprofit and help the homeless and all these things. It's important. You need to do that. But you also maybe want to think about the nonprofit of government.
Yes, yes.
Because it's definitely not for profit in most cases.
Well, and it shouldn't be. I mean, we should be releasing the funds to the people back if you don't need them, right?
Servants to your community.
Exactly.
Serving your community is what it's all about.
So when we talk about ground game, and we've got a couple minutes left before we wrap up this hour, what's the next step for the Marion County Republican Party? When's the next meeting, and how strategically, just to keep things moving?
Meetings are always third Thursday of every month.
Okay.
The next, actually, one is a significant one. It's our biannual organizational meeting, which happens always right after the election. We have in our bylaws, we elect our new officers and delegates and folks that represent us to the state level.
Okay.
So that'll be the main focus of the next meeting. And then, of course, we'll hopefully do a little celebrating too. And then we move on into the next year after that, where we get back in, you know, starting in December to more normal meetings. But the focus is already school boards and city councils and other things, the next cycle.
Yes.
We have to be thinking ahead.
Well, and right now people can still get engaged, right, in the office to get involved in and get out the vote and help in all of that.
Absolutely.
That's going to continue.
Our office will be open through Friday.
Okay.
And then we are going to be closing our office on Friday, and it will reopen sometime next week, hopefully.
Okay.
Depending on where things go.
Yeah, where we're at and what happens. Is there any kind of a victory gathering? I know with COVID it makes it really kind of difficult. I think each of the candidates may be doing some stuff.
Well, back up to where we live again. And who we're living
this
under.
This is true.
And so most of the events that I am privy and aware of are under the radar, and they don't really want to make it public.
Right.
Because why do I want to wave a sign and say, hey, OSHA, I'm over? No, not going to happen.
Right, right. Well, and anymore, there's a lot of Zoom celebrating or Facebook Live.
Yeah, we're actually
Live
doing that.
Kind of things.
Our, a little inside the house party with our precinct committee folks.
I think that's a great idea. So how do people get involved? And where do they go?
Check out our website, MarionCountyGOP.org. Search for us on Facebook, on Twitter, at MarionCoGOP. We're out there, very visible in a lot of the public spaces. So engage with us. There are so much to do even following this election.
Well, I sure appreciate your time being my co-host today. I'm looking forward to finding out more
that
about
book,
this book.
You need to read that
Indeed.
Book.
Thank you, Jeff. And, we'll do this again maybe 2 hours. Does that sound all right?
We'll have to schedule
it. We'll schedule something in maybe next month or so. How's that?
All right. Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Oh, my gosh, the time goes so fast. We're going to go into hour two at the top of the hour. I see we have someone on the phone lines waiting to talk. You can join us next hour if you'd like by phone, 503-589-1220. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you and I are facing today, we're overcomers. We'll be back for hour two after this.